And welcome to this episode of A&K on the Runway.
Hey guys.
It feels good to have a good episode.
Yeah,
it was. I feel like this was the first good episode of this entire season. And it comes with 5 people left in the competition.
Yeah, I mean, we just had so much
nonsense. The twins dominated the early part of the season, and then you got the whole twin showdown, and then the controversy, and then, like we said, last week was just kind of a retread episode where they did another unconventional materials challenge, and they feel like they mailed it in.
Mm-hmm.
This felt really good to watch.
And it's nice to have a fresh challenge, too, to have something that you haven't seen before in the sense of unconventional materials. It's just like, make something that doesn't look like fabric. So it's really cool just to see a whole new challenge and really challenge the designers at this point. And so we don't have a lot of, you know, the pre-show sort of stuff. But as the designers wake up and walk out into the kitchens, there are pink boxing gloves waiting for them. And Gintaro is the only smart one and was like, no, it's not the boxing glove that's important. It's the pink. So this challenge is the Avon Beauty Challenge. It's sponsored by Avon. And they are doing the Breast Cancer Crusade for October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so they want every woman to feel like a warrior. And at this point, I'd like to take a little departure from the show, if we could.
Just to start, I obviously have no problems with breast cancer survivors, women going through breast cancer, anything like that. I can imagine a very terrible situation, but the problem I have with it is the focus that seems to be exclusively on breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be a meninist in this and saying like, we're just going to focus on women here, huh? What about men? Like,
sure.
But in this situation, what about men?
Mm-hmm.
Because cancer's cancer. So my problem with Breast Cancer Awareness Month and all the attention it receives from everything, from the NFL to corporations to everything, is there is no reciprocal for testicular and prostate cancer for men, which I've never, admittedly, never looked into the numbers, but I have to imagine that it probably affects equal number of men and women.
There's high rates of both cancers.
Correct.
Yes.
So,
or all 3 types.
Right. That is my biggest gripe, is that, again, cancer is cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So why is the focus only on this one type of cancer? By the way, for those of you who are wondering, Prostate and Testicular Cancer Awareness Month is
November.
It's next month.
I would like to piggyback off what you're saying. I have 2 points that I'd like to make. And I didn't come to this sort of analysis originally. I watched this very amazing documentary a couple years ago that sort of brought up these great points about how breast cancer is sort of marketed and is a huge moneymaker. And that is sort of a problem in the sense that they partner with, they being the Susan G. Komen Foundation, which does amazing work, but they'll partner with organizations like KFC and encourage people to go buy fried foods in order to just generate more money instead of really focusing on the finding a cure. And if you think about the billions of dollars that have been raised over the course of these Breast Cancer Awareness Months and all these drives, and so much of that goes back into the Avon Foundation and the Susan G. Komen Foundation without really focusing on the environmental and causes. And a lot of it is genes and really focusing on the cure. A lot of it is how many pink products can we produce?
Mm-hmm.
And the second point is, and this goes to the challenge, is the nomenclature that society and particularly these big foundations put around breast cancer. The face of breast cancer is usually a young woman in with a early stage diagnosis. The women that have stage 4 or who have died from breast cancer are typically ignored, mm-hmm. because it's seen as, if you fight hard enough, you will live. And I have a real hard problem with that sort of language surrounding any type of cancer, because dying doesn't mean you didn't fight hard enough.
Yeah.
And to be a warrior doesn't mean that you overcame it. And I think there's sort of this language in how we approach October and breast cancer awareness, and if you just try hard enough, you can beat it, sort of thing. And I know that we have to have hope for people and hope for the families, but that is the main message that you'll see in October and surrounding these events, that everyone's a warrior. And sometimes I'm sure these women and the men that get breast cancer or other types of cancer, I'm sure it's just tiring. And not every day you feel like being a warrior. And I get that the point of this challenge is to empower and to make women feel strong. But I think it's really important to sort of think about how we're presenting finding a cure and how we paint those that have the disease. So we're going to take a step off the soapboxes right now. But that is something that Curtis and I have talked about long before this challenge has ever arisen. And it's something that we sort of notice, particularly around sports and the sports marketing of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So with that being said, the challenge this week is to create a high fashion editorial look inspired by a warrior woman.
And before we get into the sketching and the designing of it all, Tim lets the designers know that they're to really get their creative juices going and to be fully inspired, I guess, they're going to go through a boxing boot camp. And
which seems like it was like everyone got 5 minutes to like work with the instructor.
And if there was going to be a Project Runway Fight Club, based off what we saw, I think Margarita might be the top. Her arms look pretty toned.
I know, she does have nice biceps.
It looks like that she might like do kickboxing to like stay in shape. Ayana, sneakily though, looked pretty good in there too.
Yeah, she was getting those punches in.
Kentaro would most definitely be the last person.
Poor Kentaro, he was like, I don't really like hitting people. And so he didn't even, you know, when you're boxing and you've kind of got both hands up, and we've all watched boxing movies, and you're really going for it. He just sort of had his elbows down.
He's just swiping. He's just swiping at the pads. Right, right.
So that was like, you get those little moments or whatever with the designers, but they move past them pretty quick. So the designers do have $250 and 2 days to create their looks. And they mentioned this, but it really never came up again. Since it's an Avon challenge, the makeup looks are important, but it really didn't factor into any sort of judging.
No, not really. I didn't really get...
It's just another sponsor plug.
It seemed like there was going to be some sort of like recreation thing there, but yeah. I didn't quite get...
Nope, nothing else besides, hey, it's Avon, so don't forget the makeup.
Right. So as we get into day one, we kind of start to see what each designer and is where they're going and what their inspiration was. Margarita has this very, very interesting interpretation of this challenge. She says that cancer just causes this massive amount of chaos, not only for the person who has been diagnosed, but for their family, friends, and loved ones as well. So what she wants to do is create this look that is just seems to be all over the place and very chaotic, and then wants to make this corset as kind of symbolizing the things that keep that chaos kind of contained.
Yeah, she was the only one of the five designers that integrated the cancer background of the challenge into her look. Everyone else really just went for the warrior sort of woman.
Like the powerful,
Yeah. And I think that's because she was the most sort of emotionally affected by the stories of the women, and just kind of seeing them all there. And really, I mean, that was also a very quick thing to where they only talked to two women. It sort of seemed to gloss over them. And I don't know if that was a time and an editing thing, but also from day one, Kenya seems to be having sort of a creative block. So you knew she's either going to be out or safe or possibly win. Because she seemingly by the end of day one had like half a look going on. Half a skirt even, not even half of a full look.
Yeah.
Kentaro has Jasmine as his model. And he's struggled before with plus size models. Or as Kenya says, women of size.
Yes.
And we've sort of gotten away as the season has progressed from the acknowledgement that this season was supposed to be fashion is for every size sort of thing. We have...
I have a feeling that... Because as we have gone on, at the beginning of this season and as it progressed, you and I have wondered on this podcast how they were going to decide which models to stick around. And they have done a good job of keeping it kind of 50-50 or as close to it as possible. I mean, in this challenge, obviously you can't do that because there's five people.
Mm-hmm.
So you had three kind of regular models and two women of size.
And the thing is, we've lost most of the ladies in the middle. You know what I mean? We have super, super skinny and then the women of size, but we lost the ones in the middle of that.
But at the same time, I think even the more prototypical models have their kind of difficult in the traditional sense of fashion areas. So like, I can't remember her name, but whoever Ayana had tonight,
Christina,
like she's very, very skinny, but she has a bigger butt than your average stick figure that's walking down the runway.
Yeah. It's just interesting how we sort of got away from it a little bit. I think because people sort of stopped struggling and you didn't hear the sort of griping about getting a woman of size instead of the size 0 or 2 model.
Right.
So Kentaro he's not making things that are big enough to fit on. I don't think the sweater thing that he could make could fit over anyone's head. And that's not the per body size. That's the fact that he made the whole of the hoodie the size of a small child, or for a small child, I mean.
We move into day two, and we kind of get the vibe that Kentaro and Brandon are going to have very similar looks.
Mm-hmm.
They both are kind of creating this crop top hoodie, if you will. They're in different fabrics, they're different colors. Kentaro's initially looks like it's going to be a little bit longer in length.
But they both have turtlenecks underneath the hood thing, which is sort of connects it.
Which, it turns out, happened pretty organically. I mean...
Yeah, and like we've said, when the whole controversy of Claire stealing Margarita's top came about, they're working in close quarters. There's going to be some sort of influence over each other's design sort of thing. And they do sort of consult with each other in the sense of, do you think these colors match? You know, not anything to the level of Claire and Sean.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the Tim Gunn critiques. And really, we're sort of steadily moving along in this episode. You know, there's not too many blips on the radar. But he starts with Ayana.
We do get a little more time with each designer in the critiques, which will happen when there's only five people.
For sure. So Tim starts with Ayana, and he feels like her top is a wow moment, and he's just crazy about it, and he does not throw that term around lightly.
Right. Kentaro is next, and at this point, Kentaro is still very much on the fence about what he wants to do, which he was kind of the entire episode. He was very wishy-washy, but he does show this hoodie with the turtleneck underneath, and then he wanted to make a kind of samurai-inspired pant. And Tim does like the hoodie and kind of the color concept that he has going on, but he's just very worried about having too many competing ideas there at once. And he kind of says that Kentaro, it looks like Kentaro is putting all these things together and just being like, hey, which of these do you like?
Mm-hmm. Brandon's critique comes next, and Tim tells Brandon that he so clearly has a signature. So he just needs to push himself to the point beyond what the judges have seen already and what they're expecting. And he needs to ask himself, has he already been down this route? And I think that's important. The lady designers were joking, you know, to open the show that if Brandon went to Fashion Week, he would have all these strings and buckles. And then he made something with string and buckles. And then Kentaro would have something all pleats. And then he made pants with pleats on top. And so they're sort of staying true to who they are. But with Brandon, as we've said before in past episodes, he definitely does have an aesthetic and a lane. But we've seen so many crop top hoodies and long strings. And so it is variations on the same theme. And other designers are kind of pointing this out. And so Tim is encouraging him to really push the boundaries.
When Tim gets to Kenya, she is just kind of starting to really piece together what she wants to do. She tells him that she hit a creative black space. She knows that she wants a really strong shoulder. She says she envisions the model like standing with her hands on her hips, and so she wants to draw the attention to the shoulder in that situation. Tim does like this idea, kind of pushes her towards this. Kenya has started to make these kind of oversized petals that she was going to drape from the shoulder. Tim really, really liked that. And he suggested that she just make kind of the entire top of this dress out of those petals. He does bring up that she is the only person still in the competition without a win.
Yeah.
So he says that on a scale of 1 to 10, this needs to be a 20 for her.
Tim moves on to Margarita, and Margarita has a gold and red color scheme, and she's making a corset out of this gold leather. And Tim says, you know, he's kind of concerned about the gold and the red, and Margarita asks if it's too superhero. And then Tim comes back and said, no, he thinks it's fantastic. So he sort of sees her vision. And Margarita is teetering about whether the corset will be the entire top. And it's a, you know, sweetheart neckline. So that it covers the boobs, or it's just like a belt thing and just a true corset. So she's still playing with that.
Before we move on, do you think that they are pushing the same storyline as they did with Ashley?
With Brandon?
With Ayana.
Expound on that a little bit.
Kind of like this acceptance and modesty can be sexy and fashionable as well.
A little bit, but I think that she has shown a willingness to, you know, mix it up and not always do that. Although she has come back to this skirt over pants idea.
She loves that.
I don't know how many times this season. So a little bit.
I don't think it's as obvious.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve to be here. there aren't too many people that I can think of offhand that have gotten eliminated before this point that I think should be here over Ayana.
Yeah, I think that Project Runway, since they sort of dropped the dream of having the next Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein, Michael Kors, etc., all men designers, by the way, they sort of now are going to take the focus of treading into different territory. They're going to be trailblazers into different areas of fashion. And that's how they're going to stay relevant. And so I think this is one way they're doing that.
Right.
We see Ayana call her family and get more of her background story, which means she's either out or the winner. That seems to be the red herring this season a little bit.
Kentaro, once the models come in for their fitting, Kentaro is trying to squeeze this hoodie over Jasmine's, mostly her hair. And they do this really weird thing to where she is, they had a makeup consultation
before the fittings. So they have full makeup on.
So they drape this piece of like linen over her face so the makeup doesn't smear as Kentaro is trying to just yank this hoodie down over her hair. And so he finally gets it, but like she can't fit her arms through.
Yeah, the whole thing is too small.
Is really kind of struggling to breathe because it's like choking her essentially. So Kentaro has to scrap this hoodie that not only did he like, and it was in this fabric that really he said spoke to him, but Tim also seemed to like as well. So he has to go with basically an entirely new look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has to create a whole new top. And on the day of the runway show, he's like, I'm just going to make another layer for the top. And he makes it out of black tulle. So he's sort of just grasping at straws at this point. And we see him struggling both at the end of day two and on the day of the runway show to sort of figure out what he's going to put on his model. So we get to the runway show. And the guest judge for this week is Rachel Brosnahan. And it took me a second, but she actually played Rachel on House of Cards, if you've ever seen that. And she's on this other new show that apparently is Emmy winning, and I have never heard of it.
I couldn't even tell you what the name of
something
it was.
Something about Muriel or Marvel or something.
No, it was weird. It was a weird name.
She's a good actress, though.
We lead off with Brandon down the runway, and this is just a whole lot of Brandon. There are many, many times where I just don't get it. I don't get it. And this is definitely one of those times.
Yeah.
He has we've said this before, there's a difference between having an aesthetic and doing the same thing over and over again. And he has a lot of elements that he's done before. For example, he has leggings underneath a pant. He's done another crop top.
Yeah.
He's done exclusively crop tops this season.
Pretty much.
But he has kind of a two-layer crop top. So a long sleeve, more fitted, and then the overlayer is kind of this pink, looser fabric. This looks like a character from Assassin's Creed.
I don't know what that is.
I didn't think you would. And so to me, this just is too much of the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say or what to think. I mean, I don't like drop crotch pants. And I will say these are better than, like, season 12 was the season of drop crotch pants. There's always one every season. I'm surprised it took us this long to get to one. But they're not what we've seen before because they're not tight. They're essentially like gaucho pants. And he just has a long crotch. It's sort of an androgynous look, he says. But he has this weird hoodie thing coming off. I assume it's connected to the underlayer.
Yeah.
And it's just a long hoodie. I mean, it's not weird, but he's got these long ties. And so I guess what gets me is that you can tell there's details. Like there's some buckles on the front and the back of the crop top, and I think apparently on the side. But it's just, I just never know what to think. And I know it is different, and it's not like something that we've seen or are seeing on the runway and the other looks. I just never know who's wearing this.
For sure. This is not a everyday look whatsoever.
The next look comes from Ayana, and she has created a sort of a take on a dress shirt. She has a lot of ruffles on the left side. It's probably, I think it's like a light blue, maybe like a pinstripe, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got all these ruffles on that left side and sort of a oversized collar. And then she created pants and then skirts with suspenders over the pants. And that is in, I think it's probably either a navy or a black, but it's white and black striped. And I thought she was going for a cigarette pant, but the pants are loose. The problem I have with this, there's just something that feels very 90s. And then I realize it's the suspenders look.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole like skirt. It looks like overalls.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like something you would see on Full House. Like it's just with the wide legs and the stripes and the suspenders. And the only thing that's sort of saving it is the ruffled shirt. But then I'm like, well, it looks like the pirate shirt off of Seinfeld a little bit. Just with one side of ruffles, not the whole thing. The shirt's made really well. It just feels dated. And the pants, I think, are too loose. I think it would have been better if they were like tighter pants because of the skirt thing, the skirt suspender thing. I'm not sure. It's just something about it I didn't care for.
I thought that she did a really great job with the print on the pants and the skirt because it's in the same print.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she first brought that up, I was like, that's just going to blend in.
Yeah.
But she made sure because the skirt is asymmetrical.
Right.
And so she made sure that the lines on this print are going in different directions in each piece of this bottom half.
I think that's a great point. The pants are a vertical stripe, whereas the skirt is more of like a horizontal stripe, the way she's positioned the fabric. And it's not as goofy as just sticking like a, you know,
right,
a bubble skirt over a pair of pants.
Right. The shirt looks cool. However, it looks very, very similar to the one she did in the menswear challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Where okay. The collar is off yeah. to the side and the buttons are coming down off center. And, you know, just basically it's almost the exact same shirt.
Yeah.
And there's just too much ruffling for my taste. I think that, and this is something that kind of came up last week as well, is that Ayana has a trouble editorializing.
Mm-hmm.
And so she might be done with, say, an hour to go. And instead of spending that time, like, making sure that each seam is, you know, done, making sure everything falls in the exact way that she wants it to, she would spend that hour looking at this and being like, okay, what else can I do? Yeah, what should I add here? So I feel like that's what happened with like the suspenders thing. And because that was like, we didn't see that until nearly the very end
mm-hmm.
of like in the last 10 minutes. It was like, okay, well, I'll do this now.
And the way it's positioned, she had to have been planning for it. We just didn't, because, you know, she figured out how to hook it, you know, through in the back of the shirt, and that skirt would not stay on without the suspenders, but
right.
I don't know.
But overall, this is very, very well put together, very well tailored.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a look that the judges will like. Margarita is next, and I was really, really excited to see what she would come up with based off of her kind of design inspiration. And I think she just didn't execute this. She does have the flowy red dress that she had. She went with the kind of full armored corset over the boobs, but above that, there's just kind of a little bit of fabric sticking out of the top and just kind of over up to about her right shoulder. And it just kind of looked like an oversized handkerchief to me, like kind of like a napkin ring,
mm-hmm.
and you just kind of pull the napkin through the top.
That's a really good description.
There needed to me to really kind of get that message across that she wanted, there needed to definitely be more up top, and I think it needed to be more volume on the bottom as well.
I have nearly the same critique. I said it felt a little flat for me. Just not enough volume, because if you saw her sketch, there was so much volume at the top, and I think she decided to do the full corset and not just the belt. But there was hardly, it's draped nicely on the bottom, but there was hardly any of that volume to it. So then Wonder Woman's having a moment right now, pop culturally. And so all you can see are Wonder Woman colors. And then the fact that it's a corset, it just did, if it had maybe been in a different color, even silver, I wonder if it wouldn't have felt as costumey.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, it was sort of pretty, but it was just kind of safe. And you could tell the construction around the corset and where the corset hit wasn't there. And it also wasn't really high enough. The model does have kind of a long chest, I guess,
right,
from the shoulders to the top of her boob. So it was just so much skin as far as that area, and before the dress even started.
Yeah.
Next, we have Kentaro's look, and this is so hard to describe because it's kind of a black blob.
Yeah, you can't really see where one thing begins and another ends, or what is, because it appears to be separate.
Yeah.
And you can't tell, like, if what is separate and what's
right
together. And
also, I have, like, a small critique on this model. She's always slightly slouching a little bit when she walks. And I've said this before. It, like, her neck is sort of down like a turtle. And so I'm like, stand up straight so I can figure out. Like, I think it's a turtleneck. I'm not really sure. I believe the pants, they're sort of like capri pants, like double layered. They have a pleated top, and there's like, I can't tell if it's all connected, but there's a white underneath, and there's a cuff, and then there's sort of a black layer over that. And then he put on a white turtleneck, similar to Brandon's, and then made like a 3/4 sleeve, very oversized sweatshirt, let's say, or sweater. And then you just cut out, like, you know when you played basketball in gym class and half the class had to wear the pennies and
yeah,
the other class didn't? He made a penny out of black organza and just put it over that. And then he has what he called a belt, and he has just a black fabric belt, you know, over her, just around her neck. It looks like when wrestlers wear trash bags in order to lose water weight. Like, that's what it felt like to me.
I could see that.
There's so much fabric. It's so boxy. I also get a nun vibe from this. Like, the colors.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit. The fact that it's a turtleneck. It kind of seems like a robe maybe, too. It's just not, it's not really coming through for me.
I agree. This doesn't seem to fit her all that well.
No.
Like, the bagginess of it really makes her look broad.
Yeah.
And, like, there's one thing to be wider.
And it doesn't help either.
Right. There's one thing to be wider, but to have, like, depth, that's definitely not what you want to have. But if there is a redeeming quality here, it's that, since it's Kentaro, everything does look very, very sharp. Like, the contrasts are good, and it's very, very well made.
Yeah, I wonder if subconsciously he's like, oh, they liked what Brandon's doing. He sort of he did what Brandon does in a Kentaro sort of way, but he wasn't very sure on it, and that's where he seemed to struggle.
Right. So this isn't that great of a look, in my opinion.
I agree.
Last but not least, we have Kenya, and she has gone with an all-blue dress. It does have those petals coming off of the shoulders, and it is also pleated pretty much throughout the entire outfit, including on the petals. I thought the pleating effect was very, very cool. It looks like it's part of the fabric. Like, it looks like she bought the fabric that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the petals look really, really good. And maybe smaller might have worked. I don't know if... To me, when she was describing this and having the petals come off the shoulders, that didn't really, to me, portray, like, powerful and strong. When I saw it, though, it kind of looked like a lobstered armor. So just kind of like fish scales,
mm-hmm,
type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what she was going for. And so I think that may have come off a little bit better with the petals being smaller. But
yeah,
either way, it does look very cool. Probably the highlight of this outfit, though, is how well it fits the model.
Mm-hmm.
That dress looks delish. What things that make you go,
Kenya got Lyris for this challenge, who is one of the women of size. And, I mean, this fits her perfectly. It accentuates her curves, and it doesn't hide anything.
She looks really great.
My only question is it enough?
That's my entire critique, because if Brandon does crop tops and these long strings and buckles, Kenya does pencil skirts.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she does. I know she's made pants before, but she's also done these petal things before too. And not that people can't sort of riff on what they've done, but it's so simple. It's so beautiful. And it's so well made. But the thing is, she's a great tailor.
Yeah.
I don't think she's a great designer.
Right. There is no design to this.
No.
Like, say what you want about Brandon, but he designs.
Yeah.
You know, there is thought into each and every piece that he makes and how it's going to go together and how it looks.
Yeah.
There is no design here because it's just a dress.
It's just a pencil skirt dress. And it is beautiful and the color is great and the fit is amazing. It's just sort of simple and it's not interesting. And I hate to sound like Nina, but I think that's why the judges sort of fawn over Brandon. And I know that frustrates the other designers. But this could be from anybody,
mm-hmm,
any season, in any store that you go to. It's sort of just, you know, mall USA sort of thing. Whereas I think they feel like Brandon's is fresh. And so while this is beautiful and well constructed, it's just hard to sort of feel the same way about it. So who is your guess for winner and out?
It was very tough between... In my mind, there was a clear top two and a bottom three in this situation.
Who is your clear top two?
Brandon and Ayana.
Okay.
I think that Ayana was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that Kentaro was going to be out.
I had Brandon winning and Kentaro out. And I thought Brandon would be the winner, because I thought Zach would find Ayana's to be dated and to feel like it wasn't fresh. So that was kind of my thought.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone stays for the judging. They start with Kenya. Everyone loves the look. Nina says this shows that you don't need hijinks to communicate power. Zach said she delivered on the power of fashion, and Zach has been waiting for this moment all season to where Lyris is just, because Lyris is a very strong model, to where she just is owning the sort of look that she's in.
They talk to Brandon next. Heidi says that this is very out there, but he is always creating something new. Nina loved the juxtaposition of the color that he used, which was this very light pink, and the powerfulness of the overall outfit, and that Brandon has a sense of what is happening now in fashion. Zach thought that Brandon knocked this out of the park and that he played with a lot of elements and they all came together very well.
For Margaritas, the only kind of positive thing is Zach feels like the draping was nice. But in the end, he felt like the corset idea was more club rather than armor. Heidi says that without the story, it's a very literal and very Wonder Woman. Feels like the tailoring is also messy. Nina likes the concept. It feels like it looks stuffed in there. And says it's costume and cliche. So kind of a harsh critique.
For Kentaro, Rachel says that you can't see the model's body and you can't really see the details of the outfit either. Nina says that there is no shape or color to this and there's really nothing interesting to photograph, which was kind of the point of the editorial challenge. And that he is reverting back to his old ways in terms of just blacks and whites all the time. And Heidi thought that from the waist down, this looked great, but there was definitely not enough done from the waist up.
And Nina also points out that, because they have Kentaro and Brandon standing right next to each other, that Kentaro's look is the same as Brandon's and just in black, essentially. It's a version of what Brandon did. So they talk about that a little bit, but it doesn't really come up. Lastly, for Ayana's critique, Zach feels it's wacky but impeccable. He's blown away. The judges feel like it's bold and beautifully tailored. And Heidi says it's powerful, strong, and sexy without showing a lot of skin, which is sort of Heidi's MO. And during the closer look, we get some foreshadowing here because during Margarita's closer look, the judges are like, oh, you don't seem they don't like it. But Tim's sort of in the background saying, like, I like it. I think it's great sort of thing. He says that a couple of times. And so I'm just wondering that if Margarita's out, is he going to use a save?
So we get to kind of the final results with very, very little fanfare. Kenya is told immediately that she is in. Brandon is told right after that he has won. And so they talk to Brandon a little bit, and Brandon goes back and talks to Kenya in the kiss and cry room. Right after that, they tell Ayana she is in. She goes back to the kiss and cry room. And so now we're down to Kentaro and Margarita. So Margarita ends up being eliminated. I'm curious why. I think probably what it came down to was execution.
Yeah, hers was kind of messy.
Right.
As far as the construction. But I would have thought they would have eliminated Kentaro because Nina was very clear that designing an all black is unacceptable. So I was just surprised at that result a little bit. But don't fear.
So we do learn that Margarita will be going home. But not so fast. There is a Tim Gunn save alert. There is really no fanfare about it. He just says, you're not going anywhere. I'm using my Tim Gunn save. Usually there is you've grown so much as a designer. We really enjoyed you being here.
Yeah.
Blah, you're so strong.
You're
blah,
not
going to
clean
blah.
Up your space yet.
Right. No, it's just, you're in.
Yeah.
So we still have five people.
So five people. Next week is the last challenge before Fashion Week. So unless they cut two, we'll likely have four people going, I think.
Right. So who is your number five designer in your power rankings?
My number five is Kentaro. I think he is struggling now, and he's sort of on the downswing to where he had gotten his mojo back a couple challenges ago, and now he's just sort of lost again.
I have Kenya as my number five, kind of basically because of what we said earlier. She has made beautiful dresses all season, but there has never been anything that she has really challenged herself with.
Yeah.
And I've yet to see anything that has blown the judges away. I mean, there's a reason she is still here, but there's also a reason she hasn't won a challenge yet.
Yeah, that's a great point.
My number four is Margarita. I think she is also kind of stuck in this neutral zone. You would think with such an ambitious and clear vision as to what she wanted to do with this challenge, and she knew it immediately,
mm-hmm.
that she would have executed a little bit better, and that didn't happen. And so I'm curious how she will rebound from this challenge, because she looked very dejected on the runway. So we'll see how she rebounds next week.
Yeah, I also have her in my number four spot. I think she's struggling to, you know, she thought this would be the look that provided her point of view to the judges. And so if they still feel like they don't see it, that could be problematic for going forward for her. My number three is Kenya. I didn't know where to place her just because she does do really great tailoring, but I'm not sure if I want to see a collection of pencil skirts and dresses, like with the pencil skirt shape. I'm not sure if the judges will either, so I just don't know what her sort of chances are as far as moving forward.
My number three is Kentaro. He is definitely just wallowing right now, very similar to Margarita.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've said before, there seems to be no reason for that. So next week, he's going to have to snap out of it, or else I think he will be out.
Yeah.
My number two is Ayana.
Me too.
I'm starting to see a little bit more from her.
She's definitely turned it on in recent challenges.
For sure. She's not doing... Well, she kind of is. She's doing a version of that, you know, pant or skirt with the ruffles on it, but she does seem to have at least kept that inspiration and just kind of moved it around and used it to elevate the rest of her outfits.
Yeah, I think sometimes I don't know what to expect, and I have no idea what a full collection from her would really be like. But she's sort of evolved, like Nina said, from just doing those long sort of slinky gowns into, you know, full looks and separates and kind of really showing off her skills in other ways. So I think, you know, she's one that has really thrived over the course of the show. And it seems like we both have Brandon at number one.
Bulletproof Brandon.
And obviously part of it is just being smart and knowing that the judges love him. I can't even think of a negative critique that has come his way.
He's never been on the bottom.
He's never been in the bottom. I wonder if, I'm sure that's happened before in the history of the show, but it would take a massive stumble next week, I believe, for him to not go to Fashion Week.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have to just
come out with nothing.
Nothing, or be complete, have poor taste, something like that, to not be able to move on. And I think that the judges are so curious to know how he would create and curate a collection that I don't know if they'd even care.
And honestly, so am I.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's in a good way or a bad way.
I'm just, yeah, is it all going to be the same? And just like, is it going to be 10 crop tops? I think that's what's sort of tough to tell. And I get it. He's a streetwear designer. I totally understand that. I just, you know, who knows? It's hard. It's hard to say. And I know there's more time and, you know, that they really want to push themselves. So we'll see.
So that is our show. Next week, there appears to be some sort of winter theme.
Oh, yeah.
So who knows? I doubt they do outerwear.
Yeah, it's not going to be a ski resort collection, but it's going to be something, I don't know, something winter themed, because they decorated the entire studio in a sort of winter wonderland sort of thing. So it may just be, use winter as your theme, give us your best look that represents you and why you should go to Fashion Week.
Yeah.
So.
Which generally is kind of like the last, the last week.
Yeah.
So your guess is as good as ours. Join us next week when we find out what that is.
See you guys.
Auf Wiedersehen.